Hey guys, welcome to Fitness Mentor's presentation of the online course for the ACPT. We are here going over the Chapter 2 PowerPoint. So let's go ahead and jump right in Chapter 2 PowerPoint, starting on slide 1. Chapter 2 is specifically talking about motivation for your clients, as well as yourselves, and adherence to exercise. But specifically when we think about this as a personal trainer, it's all about making sure that your client continues to go after the goal that they want to achieve. How can you optimize their behavior and motivate them to continue striving for that goal? That's kind of what we're really focusing on. And, you know, as a personal trainer, you want to always be gauging where your client's motivation is at. And you can tell pretty easily, you know, if they're excited to be there, if they're putting effort in at the expected amount. And also, you know, just gauge how often they are sticking to what you recommend. And that really can set the client up to achieve their goals. And that's really important because as a personal trainer, you want your clients achieving their goals. Otherwise, they're not going to continue to train with you. So this is really that sort of motivation and more of a mental learning chapter around how to really talk to your clients. So let's go ahead and move over to slide 2 and talk about the motivation and adherence specifically around, you know, well, first off, what is recommended by the United States Department of Health and Human Services? That's that USDHHS, great acronym there. But 150 minutes of moderate intensity physical activity or 75 minutes of vigorous physical activity. And yeah, shows up on the test, mentioned it in the last chapter, but 150 minutes of moderate intensity physical activity is what's recommended by the USDHHS as well as a surgeon general. Note that. Also, the trainer is responsible for assisting the client with increasing their activity levels, and that typically requires motivation. Okay, so a part of your job description is to really encourage the client to continue exercising. And that is done through motivating and or motivational techniques, we'll say. So as we move over to slide 3, there's gonna be types of motivation that you're going to want to emphasize. Mainly there's two types. You have intrinsic motivation and you have extrinsic motivation. Let's go over intrinsic motivation first. Intrinsic motivation is what the client is going to be experiencing internally, in the sense that the inherent pleasure that they have is what will motivate them to continue from an intrinsic standpoint. So are they enjoying it? If they are enjoying it and you can see them enjoying it, that's that intrinsic motivation. Some clients will have natural intrinsic motivation and some will not. Some people hate exercise, in which you'll have to move more towards that extrinsic approach. But we want you to know specifically for the test that what is intrinsic motivation? It's basically, it requires inherent pleasure in order for intrinsic motivation to be had. So if someone is not enjoying it, that means there is low intrinsic motivation. If somebody is enjoying it, that means that there is high intrinsic motivation. So examples of someone that is intrinsically motivated is someone that you can see enjoying the activities that they're doing, like a sport. If they enjoy, we'll say, going surfing, or they enjoy playing baseball, they enjoy playing soccer. That is that's a lot of intrinsic motivation. Also, a positive attitude is typically around that, positive emotions whenever they're around or playing the activity or doing the activity. And really, yeah, that the trainer's job partially is to make sure that the workouts that they provide are fun and enjoyable. And when they are fun and enjoyable, it will encourage the client to continue training with that trainer, as well as just continue with exercise in general. So that's very important there. Extrinsic motivation is anything but that internal sort of drive. And these are the things that you see external to yourself, like you know, going to work out to meet up with a friend or to socialize with a group, or wanting to get bigger muscles or wanting weight loss or wanting to improve health. Even though that may seem internal, it's actually an external thought and an extrinsic motivator, something that you want to achieve. And you're motivated in aiming to achieve that, which is not currently there, that sort of thing. So, improved biomarkers of health is improve like a decreased cholesterol, decrease blood pressure, increase or improve hormonal profile, decrease risk of disease, things like that. So, most people do have a combination of both, but you will run into clients with different levels of each. And you know, if somebody's really, really motivated by wanting a beach body coming up for this summer, that's great extrinsic motivation. That's where you're going to talk to them about, you know, achieving their goals. Like, hey, this is where you want to be in 4 or 3 months. You can basically encourage them and motivate them by saying, "We're going to get you there. You're going to look great. And that is the most important thing to you." So that you're really using that sort of talk, which really talks to them about where they're going to be in a month or two's time. That's a great way to use extrinsic motivation to continue to assist the client in adhering to exercise and adhering to achieving their goals. All right, next as we move over to slide number 4, self-efficacy is going to be talked about quite often in this book, and it's also something that we want you to know for the test. And self-efficacy, just to read that top bullet point, is directly related to continued exercise participation and adherence. Self-efficacy is going to be the belief in one's self, almost like your self-worth, your self-respect, or your self-esteem as well. It's something that basically, how do you view yourself in relation to what you're doing? And that second bullet point really talks about the belief in one's own capabilities. And self-efficacy around fitness is the belief in one's capabilities inside of the gym or performing exercise. If somebody's confident in their gym routine, they have a high self-efficacy around their exercise routine and around themselves in the gym. A lot of people that train that have high self-efficacy around their workout routine and low. So it really just depends. But really, higher levels of self-efficacy is directly related to higher levels of adherence to exercise. So the goal for you as a personal trainer is to encourage the person to believe in themselves around what they're doing. Really like, using things like showing them their improvement during a certain exercise, or showing the weight loss using a body fat calipers, using body composition measurements. And yeah, really just showing them how they're improving will improve their self-efficacy, and that leads to further adherence to exercise. All right, so the third bullet point talks about that if somebody believes they can be successful on an exercise program, they are most likely going to be successful. It's kind of just, that's what self-efficacy is. You really are going to, if you believe in yourself, it is a lot more achievable, absolutely. And then yes, once again, you're as a personal trainer, you have the job of building the client's self-efficacy around their experience in the gym, around exercise, and choosing the right assessments that make them feel like there's room for improvement, but also that makes them feel good about themselves is also really important. An example for this would be like, there's a guy that in the gym that you know he can do a lot of push-ups. So, you see him doing bench press and a lot of, we'll say chest exercises often. So, but then you also know that his flexibility is very poor. So some of the assessments I might choose for this guy is, hey, let's start off by having you do a max effort push-up test or a total repetition push-up assessment. And, you know, he knocks out 50 push-ups. He's stoked. He's happy. He is, you know, ecstatic about the fact that, yeah, he's did really good in that assessment. And then you immediately go to something like a flexibility assessment for the chest muscle or for the shoulder. And and you show him how, you know, all that chest work is great, but the flexibility drawbacks are there as well. So there's room for improvement, but he's willing to accept that room for improvement because he just got really happy and confident in himself by doing that push-up assessment. So that's the kind of way that you can utilize the strengths of a client with their weaknesses to encourage them to exercise in general, as well as work out with you, the personal trainer. So, as we move over to slide 5, we're going to talk about maintaining motivation. So motivation is an ongoing process. You know, I've had clients for 2 months, and I've had clients for almost 10 years, sort of thing. So when it comes to motivation, It's really about jiving with the person in a sense of your personalities work well together, and also really ensuring that you're always providing a professional service. And that professional service will allow you to always, you know, they may become your friend over time, and you know, they may want to you know, see you more. You just, the relationship can become more comfortable, but always look back towards providing them that professional service that can increase and improve their motivation, regardless of how friendly you guys become. But yeah, those 10-year clients, they almost become a part of your family in a way, and seeing them on a daily basis, you probably know them a lot better than even most of their friends. So to get to the slide, they talk about social support around motivation, and a strategy that utilizes social support to maintain motivation would be things like getting a workout partner, asking for encouragement from family and friends, basically making your family and friends aware that you are going for a specific fitness goal. Also creating things like contests to improve and motivate yourself to hit a specific goal. Also, add things like social elements of like, hey, show up early to our workout and you can talk with one of my clients that's just leaving, and that creates a catching up that allows them to feel, you know, motivated or working with someone towards a goal, that sort of thing. And then also at the bottom, it talks about negative influences that might affect motivation or decrease motivation. And those are things like people that don't support them towards their goal, especially, you know, their spouse or their family, their friends, people that are close to them. If they do not support that goal in a sense of, let's say, you have a good friend. That friend loves to go out late and eat bad food and drink a lot of alcohol. And your goal is to, you know, lose body fat. That person might be a negative influence because they aren't supportive of you aiming to lose body fat by not staying up late, not eating bad food, and drinking less alcohol. So that's an example of an unsupported person. The goal, or what ACE recommends, is for you to limit time with them, especially when you're really focused on achieving that goal, or even avoid them altogether. Obviously, every situation is different, but just be aware of your client's potential negative influences for sure. Also, inefficient mental preparation, and then also, yeah, responding to negative comments. So inefficient mental preparation, when I think of that, really just like, what does it take to get someone to their goal? And what do they expect in going for it? If you can prepare the client appropriately and say, these are all the steps here, they're all laid out right here for you, that can really allow the client to come to terms with what they have to do. And then also that section talks about responding to negative comments. People will, especially the unsupportive people, will have negative comments like, there's a lot of different situations, but that, let's use that same example. That person says, "Oh, like, why can't we hang out? Or we don't hang out as much anymore. And ever since you've got into fitness, you're not as fun." You know, things like that. Responding to people that might be dragging them away from their goal, it's important to address those sort of situations with your clients that have those negative influences. So be aware of that and teach the client how to, you know, react when somebody does say something like, "Hey, you know, I really want to go out and get food, and you're being lame and for not eating out with me," you know, things like that. You know, how can they respond to that situation? Teach them what might work best. You know, giving someone, basically allowing them to understand, or teaching your client to tell the person that they are committed to their goal, and this is kind of what they're focused on now, and not buy into not be tempted to go away from their goal in that sense, or even skip workouts, things like that. So moving over to slide 6, we're going to be talking about maintaining motivation and continuing with that. So they talk about assertiveness, self-regulation, and then high-risk situations. These are just things to be aware of. Assertiveness is just an honest assessment of the current feelings, emotions, and thoughts around their current state of participation, in a sense of how are you feeling about achieving this goal now that you're halfway through it? Just talk to them and assure them that the feelings that they're having are normal. They might be scared. They might be, you know, pumped up. They might be excited. They might be, you know, regretting the decision to continue. There's a lot of things, but just always continuously assess your clients, and then reassure them that, you know, that's normal and we're still going towards this goal, and continue to motivate them in that way. Also, for ways of maintaining motivation, you have self-regulation. And self-regulation really talks about controlling your environment by monitoring it. And specifically, they say the client will take control over their behaviors instead of having the trainer do it for them. So things that I like to promote self-regulation and self-monitoring on is going to be their nutrition. So I want them to write down everything they ate. They can also log their cardiorespiratory activity. And then I typically log and control their resistance training routines and also cardio if they are doing that with me too. But give them an element of self-regulation, give them an element of self-control that they need to monitor, and that will enhance motivation for sure. And then also it says set up self-monitoring by encouraging the client to track participation in those health-related behaviors. So track your sleep, track your nutrition, track your activity, track your mental stress even. You know, what were you stressed today? How did that affect your mood? Did that affect your ability to be motivated towards exercising? All of that is important to bring up and utilize with certain clients. And then also be aware of high-risk situations in the sense of, is the client looking like they're worn out? Are they burnt out? Are there barriers that or relapse that will lead them to a repeating a negative behavior? You always have to be aware of you know, this is the classic example of someone that's trying to lose weight that, you know, they get sad and then all of a sudden they get sad and then all of a sudden they start to eat because of that. Be aware of those sort of situations. I've worked with a lot of people in that and you know, they'll go 2 straight weeks of eating perfect. They'll drop, you know, 7 to 10 pounds sometimes in that amount. And then all of a sudden they have a situation that leads them to completely relapse, completely regress, and they gain almost everything back in almost a weekend away. Or even vacations, things like that. So there's a lot of situations that you have to be aware of, identify them, talk to your clients about that, and that can help with motivating them and keeping them on track. And then also prepare for success by teaching strategies for dealing with those high-risk situations. All right, so moving over to slide number 7, we have influences on participation and adherence. So further influences, you know, what factors are going to affect exercise participation? And we have personal attributes, you have environmental factors, and you also have physical activity factors. So personal attributes, you know, what personally is going to affect a client's adherence to exercise? The things that they bring up are things like demographic variables, health status, activity history, and psychological traits. So, you know, the way that someone is made up or the way that someone is built or their personality or their previous experience with working out, all of that is going to lead them towards adhering or avoiding exercise. And most of the time, it's more in that avoidance range. And being able to recognize those traits that lead them to preventing them from achieving their goal, just being aware of those will help the client adhere to the exercise program and be aware of those things that can affect or that they have control of that affect themselves. Also, environmental factors are going to be important towards adherence. We specifically want to point out one that's that typically shows up on the test. An environmental factor is something, you know, that you don't really have control over, like bad traffic, facilities located in a bad area, you don't have time, or the lack of social support, like something external to yourself that prevents you from working out. And that main one is, like, let's say the client is trying to work out at 3:30 every day, right after they get off work, and traffic is always bad when they try to leave their office and they always show up late to their sessions. That right there is going to be an environmental factor that leads them to a lack or to less adherence. You need to make it as easy as possible environmentally for them to get there. So that basically means, you know, be close to where they work or where they live, and then just assist them with other barriers that might lead or prevent them from getting to that location and or exercising. And then the last one is the physical activity factors. These you just need to be aware of as a personal trainer. You can push a client too hard that we'll say doesn't allow or doesn't motivate them. I had a client that was a 45-year-old female, and we did some exercise, and I went. She was pretty out of shape, but I thought I was staying within some safe ranges of exercise, and she ended up being extremely sore for a week straight, and that completely scared her away from wanting to work out and even work out with me as the personal trainer. So you have to be aware of always progressing from a very easy basic level and then go a little harder, but always start low and then progress the intensity. If you start that intensity too high, you're going to oftentimes scare that person away. Or you might have the person that wants that high intensity right away and that even motivates them. So just be aware of how intensity may affect participation and adherence. And then also injury. If somebody is injured or becomes injured while working out, that definitely decreases their participation and their adherence. So always be aware of that as well. All right, so looking over to slide 8, we're looking at feedback. Specifically, we have intrinsic and extrinsic feedback. What's the difference? So obviously extrinsic is going to be external to one's perceptions. This is going to be things like reinforcement, error correction, and encouragement. When I think of extrinsic feedback, I think of something that a personal trainer tells a client and that client attempts to do. Or the client looks in the mirror and sees something that gives them feedback that's external to themselves. In a sense that they're trying to correct an error that is not something that they feel. And so basically to go straight to intrinsic feedback, that is what a client feels, more or less. And if a client feels a burn in their quadriceps, they know their quadriceps are being worked out. That is intrinsic feedback. If they feel pain, that is intrinsic feedback. So those sort of elements are definitely going to be the intrinsic feedback. And if anytime a client provides info based off of their sensory system, that's kind of the way that they describe intrinsic feedback. And they say that a long-term adherence to exercise is increased when trainers teach the client how to provide their own feedback. So teach them how to exercise and what is the correct form and what is the correct exercises by looking in mirrors, determining what muscles are fatiguing during what exercises, and then also make them aware of their current posture during exercise. All right, and then also feedback-wise, knowledge of results is going to provide information on the progress. And when progress is known, adherence is increased. So knowledge of results basically is the personal trainer's job to ensure that the person understands that they've went from point A to point B, and point B is in a better position than they were. I recognize now that I am lower body fat because my personal trainer took my body composition before and after. The knowledge of results would enhance adherence. And this is basically the example, like I just gave, the personal trainer reassessing the client to prove progress has occurred, and that assists with not only adherence with the personal with or adherence to exercise, but it also encourages selling that person or that client another personal training package to keep them training. So that's very, very important to provide that sort of feedback. And that's on a weekly, biweekly, or monthly basis. All right, and then as we get into slide 9, we're going to talk about leadership qualities of the trainer. So this is just basics around, what makes a good trainer, what allows that trainer to motivate someone. And those specific qualities they mention are going to be professionalism, trust and credibility, and then also to truly care. So specifically around professionalism, what makes a personal trainer look professional and act professional? Well, being groomed in a sense of having a neat, clean appearance, not smelling like you worked out, not looking like you just worked out, but being looking professional, smelling good, wearing deodorant sometimes can be very, very important. A personal trainer that is on time, meaning they're always there when they say they're going to be, and then also a personal trainer that is prepared, meaning they come or they show up on time with the workout ready to go and jump straight into action, and that really shows professionalism and can lead to great, you know, encouragement of motivation for the client, as well as prove to be a leader and someone that the client would want to work with. And then next we have trust and credibility. This is really just, you know, do you have a proven track record? A lot of you starting out in the industry will not have a proven track record. That's okay, but you can fall back on the fact that you have the credibility because you are a certified personal trainer through the American Council on Exercise. So that's where you start with credibility. And then the real credibility comes when your knowledge grows and you understand what it takes to get a client from point A to point B. And that's where you can really become confident in your own skills. And when you're confident in your own skills, the client will trust you and it will give you more credibility. And through that, you always want to prove to the client that you have their best interest in mind. So from a motivational standpoint, the more confident you are in yourself, the more trustworthy and the more credible you will be, or you will appear to that client. So keep that in mind. And also, you know, care, listen, practice empathy, and then just fun and enjoyment is such a huge part of ensuring that the client wants to continue, and that motivation factor. So, you know, always make the workouts fun, laugh with the client, you know, be appropriate in your humor, but also have humor. Every client's different, so react to what that person wants, what that person needs, and be that person that they look forward to seeing. That's the main goal. And yeah, also put yourself in their shoes. That's empathy. Listen. A great listener is so, so important. We're going to get into that in further chapters, but and then also truly care. In our business and sales course, we really talk about the fact that if you can prove to a client that you care about their well-being, that trust and credibility jumps through the roof and they will want to work with you. And that's a really good selling technique. And I don't mean to put it in like a selling technique, like a negative thing. It's just that will happen. Sales will increase when you prove that you care about someone's best interest. So, all right, moving to our last slide. So how can the trainer build adherence with the client? We kind of been talking about that this whole time, but also other things to consider is things like program design. Is the program design what the client expects? Is the program design fun? Is it enjoyable? And does it get them to their goals? The more that program design matches what the client wants and needs, the more that client will adhere to exercise. Also, role clarity in the sense of, you know, what is your role as a personal trainer? What is the client's role as the client? Making that clear about basically, I mean, what does the client expect? What do they expect to come in and do? If they want you to do everything for them, that's okay. You just need to explain to them that when you provide an exercise list or what to do, they need to complete that, and that's their main role. Your role is to show up prepared with a workout ready to go and make it fun. I mean, just being clear about what the client expects out of a personal trainer and giving them that, or the positive elements of that is going to be very beneficial to their adherence. Also, guys, we get into this in future chapters, but goal setting. One of the most important things to adhering to exercise and motivating a client is having a very specific goal that they can achieve. And when they achieve that goal, they want to achieve more goals. This is why you can have clients for 10 years. You know, a lot of people think like, oh yeah, I got in shape with a personal trainer and then I stopped working with a personal trainer. It doesn't really work that way. When people have success working with a personal trainer, they typically don't leave and they continue to exercise with them. The goal setting, it is a major factor in adherence. You want to avoid setting negative goals, okay? You want to create both short-term and long-term goals. Like what can you achieve this week that gets you towards your long-term goal? That is a short-term goal. And what do you want to achieve overall in the next, you know, 3 months to a year, 6 months to a year? And then always revisit goals during fitness assessments regularly to enhance motivation and adherence. That's really important and something that we want you to know for the test is that if adherence is dropping, if motivation levels are dropping, you need to sit down with the client, revisit their goals and then redo an entire fitness assessment, and typically just do that for free to ensure that that person wants to continue and has a new set of goals. I almost lost a client one time because we just kind of were going in circles. He just wanted to gain muscle, and we were working to gain muscle. We switched up our program, and then all of a sudden, he just one day was like, I'm kind of bored of this. And I was like, okay, well, crap. And then I was like, okay. And then we got to talking, and then we set in a completely new goal that was entirely different from gaining muscle. So just be aware that goals will change, and always communicate with your client to find out if they are changing and how you can adapt as a trainer to build them the program that would keep them motivated for sure. But yeah, definitely revisit goals, perform assessments when adherence drops. And then also, yeah, if a client misses their sessions, reestablish goals to promote motivation. That's basically something that we want you to know for the test, those two bullet points right there. And then contracts and agreements. This is where it gets a little bit, we'll say, more towards a specific type of client that needs a contract or an agreement to prove that they can achieve or that they can commit to exercise. You know, some people really like that written down, this is what I'm doing for the next 6 months, and I have a contract to make sure that I complete the X, Y, and Z. That is definitely beneficial. We go over this a lot deeper in the audio book lecture, which we'll get to next. But you know, just having the ability or having the option when you start working with a very type A or client that needs something very specific, that is an option, and you can definitely do it to enhance adherence. But some, in my opinion, most clients won't need a contract that says you need to show up 3 days a week. You need to do exercise or do cardiorespiratory training on your own 3 times a week. You need to do X, you need to do Y, and Z. Sometimes that works well with people. Sometimes it's a little bit too anal, I guess is the word. So keep that in mind. Very type A, kind of a too much info, too specific. But certain types of clients will want that, and you have that in your back pocket, so it's always available. All right, guys, that brings us to the end of this lecture. Go ahead and complete the audiobook lecture, complete the assignments, listen to the assignment audio explanation, and then take the quiz, and keep kicking butt, and I will see you in the next lecture below. Cheers. Bye.